That last line that we sang, and in thy book revealed, I see thee, Lord. How are your devotions this week? How did it go as you opened the Word of God? Was the Bible a closed book to you this week, either physically or spiritually? Or was it open? The title of this message this morning is that one simple word, opened. And I find this in Luke chapter 24. I'd like you to turn there with me, please. Luke chapter 24. This is a passage I could have preached last Sunday, Easter Sunday, but that I wanted to preach today, the Sunday after Resurrection Sunday. And in this chapter, we see something that took place after the resurrection, and it has to do with the word opened. In fact, that word is used in this passage at least three times. When you hear the word opened, you think of perhaps Christmas or your birthday, when you get to open your present, tear off the wrapping, open the box, and see what's inside. But the word open also has something to do with explanation of something which before was hidden or obscure. It's like you tell somebody a joke and they don't get it. Then you have to explain the joke to them, and all of a sudden, oh, I see what you're saying. Your eyes are opened to what they were trying to say to you. The Bible is often, to many Christians, a closed book. Mostly because it is closed literally all week. The more you open the Word of God, not just physically, but the more you open it and seek the Lord, the more the Word of God will be open to you. I trust that this message this morning from this chapter will be an encouragement to you to see the Lord in His Word. Did you know that it has been said that the Old Testament is preparation for Christ, preparing for the Messiah, that the Gospels are the revelation, the revealing of the Messiah, and the epistles, those books that follow, are the explanation of the Messiah? The Bible is about one person, Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't see him in the Old Testament. That's what I want you to see today, that he is in the Old Testament. In fact, if you're there in Luke chapter 24, let me just kind of give it to you ahead of time, the emphasis of what Jesus is saying here. He says this in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, this is Jesus speaking, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Where did Jesus go to show his disciples where he is in the scriptures? Well, the only scriptures that at this time were written. At this time, none of the New Testament has been written. And Jesus goes back and it says, beginning with Moses. Well, what five books did Moses write? Help me out. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Did you know that Moses wrote of Christ? Can you name the passages in Genesis that really foretell the coming of the Messiah? Do you understand Genesis 3:15, Genesis 49:10, other passages in the Bible where it really talks about the Lord Jesus Christ one day coming? Can you go to the book of Exodus and notice that the tabernacle itself foreshadows what the Lord Jesus Christ would do? Can you go to the book of Leviticus and look at the sacrifices in Leviticus and can you see how that he is even there in the book of Leviticus and then again in the book of Numbers and then in the book of Deuteronomy when Moses says that God will send a prophet just like me, you shall listen to him, and in Deuteronomy 18 he is foretelling the Christ coming? Can you go through the Psalms and see the Messiah? Can you go through the prophets and see that he is coming? Folks, it's exciting when you go to the Old Testament, or rather looking at it as a bunch of stories and something that is dry, when you ahead of time say, Lord, show me yourself as I read the book of Leviticus, that book that is so close to us. So many mysteries in the book of Leviticus. Lord, show me yourself here. So the Bible is a closed book to many people, even Christians. But let me say, it is not the Holy Spirit's fault. It's our fault. And that fault lies, as we see in verse 25. We are slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Here in Luke chapter 24, it helps us with the order of events after the resurrection. By the way, something that really helps you with the order of the events after the resurrection, because you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you compare, and you say, well, what happened first? Because Matthew gives a different emphasis than Mark, Luke, and John. And the others give a different emphasis, and so it's sometimes hard to tell what really occurred first. A harmony of the Gospels is highly helpful. Thomas and Gundry have a good harmony of the Gospels. A.T. Robertson wrote a very good harmony of the Gospels. And what it does is it puts the four Gospels side by side. And where John mentions something that the others don't, well, in the four columns, you'll just see John. Or when somebody else, one of the other gospel writers, says something the others don't mention, then he's alone. But sometimes you'll see all four talking about the same thing, and you'll see it side by side. That's a harmony of the gospels. And sometimes that's very helpful. So here in Luke chapter 24, and again, I could have preached this last week, but I wanted to save it for today. You see in verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher. The they there refers to Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joanna. They're all mentioned in verse 10. And other women, verse 10. In verses 10 through 11, let's just read. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. What things? That they had seen, that had this encounter with two men after the stone was rolled away. Verse 4, two men stood by them in shining garments and told them that he is not here, he is risen. So in verses 10 and 11, they go and they tell the apostles, but verse 11, their words seem to them as idle tales and they believe them not. Then verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher. Now, you look at John, and John says it wasn't just Peter, but he was with another disciple. It was Peter and John. And the Bible says, I love this, that John outran Peter. So who was in better shape? Okay, so we learn some things sometimes from things that aren't just out there. But John gets there before Peter does. And John peeks into the tomb, but the Bible says when Peter got there, he just went right on in. And he observed what you see in verse 12. He beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Notice that Peter and John have no encounter with the Lord Jesus yet. But in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, here we are harmonizing the Gospels. In Mark 16, 9, we read there that Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. And then he sends her on her way to go tell the apostles that she has seen the resurrected Lord. And in Matthew 28, 9 and 10, while Mary is going to the apostles, Jesus meets other women. Who are the first people to see the Lord Jesus Christ? It's these women. And then Mark 16, 12 says this. After that is after Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, to the other women. After that, he appeared, literally, he was revealed, listen, in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Those two are who Luke 24 verses 13 and following are about, two men. And this is a story that I marvel at every time I read it. It's one of those more detailed accounts about the resurrection, what happened after the resurrection. It's one of those more detailed accounts about the resurrected Lord being with some people. But you'll notice what it says in verse 16 of Luke 24. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Let's just read beginning in verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's about 7 miles. So this is a 7-mile walk. I should have figured this out ahead of time. I don't know how long it takes to walk a mile. I think if you can run a mile in, I know if you can run a mile in 5 minutes, you're doing really well. Really well. I think I did about an 8-minute mile, taking an easy one, you know, in high school. So let's just say, if you're walking leisurely, well, let's just call it 15 minutes. Just give it a roundabout. What's 15 times 7? Anybody quick? 105? So about 105 minutes, they're walking to Emmaus. And we read in verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. What things? Well, but these ladies had said that Jesus Christ had arisen from the dead and they had seen him. Verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I want to see a rerun of this someday in heaven. I want to see something like this that shows the Lord Jesus Christ walking with these two men. And it says in verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas, so we have the name of one of these two guys, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. This is so interesting. They are relating to the one they are talking about, but not knowing who he is, all of these things about him from their perspective. They don't even know they're talking to him. That's why Mark 16 says he appeared to them in another form. In other words, that has to do with they did not recognize him. Then we get down to verse 32, and I'm jumping way ahead, where after they recognized him, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? That's the second mention of the word open. It occurs 3 times in this chapter. He opened to us the scriptures. He is explaining something that was previously hidden or obscure to these two men. And so I want you to see this. that the word opened is a ministry. It is a work that Jesus performed. There are three things that the resurrected Christ opened. And here we just saw the first thing. He opened the scriptures. In verses 13 to 24, the verses we've already read, we see the need for opening the scriptures. The need. What was it that these two men would have wanted to know? What they wanted to know was, what happened to Jesus? What is it, when it comes right down to it, that they needed to know? The scriptures. Jesus made himself appear to them in such a way that they did not recognize him. And he does this on purpose. He appears to them so that they cannot recognize him. Why? He has something that he wants to do with them. Have you ever had your devotions where you're just not getting anything out of it? Why can't I see what other people have seen? Why is that I can't see this? I have. I know we all have. You want to see him, but you can't. I remember as a teenager, I had visited Bob Jones, and I was a sophomore in high school, and I was walking into the amphitheater one day, and there was a guy standing out there, and he was handing out these little books, just a really little book. And so I took one. I still have that little book in my office. And it was a very doctrinal book. And I read that, and I was so confused. So confused. But I kept reading it. And every once in a while, I'd come up on something that really struck me. And I thought, well, finally, I understand something here. And the more I read it, the more I got confused, but at the same time, the more I began to understand things. What did I need to know? I needed to know the scriptures. Well, we ended with verse 24. Let's look at verses 25 to 27. The act. Not just the need for opening scriptures, but the act of opening scriptures. In verse 25, then said he said unto them, this is after they've said, we don't know what's going on. He said, O fools. Whoa, let's stop. O fools. You're thinking right away that Jesus is calling these two men morons. That's not the word used here. The word used here is senseless. Mindless. They're not using their heads. He describes them, their hearts, and slow of heart. He describes their hearts as hesitant. And then he gives the cause. It's because of their unbelief. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. These men are Jews. Have they ever read the Old Testament? Oh, yes, they're well-schooled in the Old Testament, and you may be well-schooled in the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul was well-schooled in the Old Testament. He saw Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, in the Old Testament. Rather, he was persecuting and trying to kill all the Christians. So let me give you some comfort and some encouragement. If you can't see it sometimes, you're in good company. And yet, the Lord would describe you as fools, mindless, and slow of heart to believe. So while I'm encouraging you that you're in good company, we also need to remember what he said. You're a senseless person, and you're slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The solution is found in verses 26 and 27, he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? It was necessary for Christ to suffer. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, get that word next, expounded. He explained. He interpreted unto them in all the scriptures, all the writings, the things concerning himself. Here's his act of opening the scriptures. The solution to being fools and slow of heart, the solution is to expound God's word. Not just read it, but but have it expounded to you. What I like about this passage is that it's one of the most detailed, lengthy accounts of his post-resurrection appearance. Notice, Jesus comes alongside. He is walking with these men in order to open their eyes by expounding or opening the scriptures. Look down at verse 32 and you'll see again what they say. While he talked with us, by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures, he came alongside of us. Hey, did Jesus not give us a promise that there would be someone else who would come alongside? He would be called the Paraclete, one who comes alongside, the Holy Spirit. You see, I wish he would come alongside me. Wait a second, are you a Christian? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. As a Christian, who comes alongside you today while you're reading the scripture and begins to expound the scripture to you? The Holy Spirit. Folks, he comes alongside you today in the person of the Holy Spirit to expound to you the scriptures concerning himself. But I look at this and I go, why didn't Jesus just reveal himself and identify himself to these two men? They're discouraged. They're sad. Why didn't he just come along and say, I'm here. It's me. Instead, he takes this more intensive, slow process of expounding himself. And I know what you want in your devotions. You want to be able to read in your devotions and all of a sudden, oh, yes, hallelujah, I see. No, it's work. It's more intensive. But you see in this passage, later on we're going to see that their eyes were better opened to see Jesus for who he truly is. And why these things had happened, verse 14. They were saying, why did these things happen? And furthermore, they're better prepared to bless others with what they say in verses 34 and 35 when they go to the apostles, to the other apostles, saying, the Lord is risen, next word, indeed. He has truly risen. Why? Because Jesus took the time to expound himself in the scriptures. Folks, sometimes immediately opening the eyes loses the impact that is gained from opening the scriptures and you getting down to work and seeing it yourself. Sometimes it's better if you, rather than coming here and listening to somebody else, always do the expounding. It's better if you take the time to expound it yourself with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's work. Well, that's why we don't do it, because it is work. I'm going to show you something here in a minute, what happens when you do take the time and you work, when you walk with the Lord, when you take that 105-minute walk with him. And I want to say this before I get there. Let me put it this way. The Bible does not emphasize experiences. It emphasizes exposition. In other words, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the more you understand the scriptures, the more you have the scriptures expounded to you, even in a sermon like this, or in your devotions, the more you understand the scriptures, the more you will come to know the Lord. The more men seek an experience, the less they do the laborious work of exposition. To many people, church is about an experience. Would you agree? You go to church to have an experience, to have some kind of an emotional high. What What does that do for you? Well, number one, you come and you say, well, I didn't get a high today. Let me challenge you with something. When you come to church, come to work. When you come to Wednesday night prayer meeting, come to work. Have your spiritual work clothes on, where you don't just sit there, but your mind is engaged with what is being taught in Sunday school, children, everybody else. You come, and when your teacher's teaching you, you come and you think about what the teacher's teaching you. If you seek an experience, you may get an experience. You may get an emotional high, which should probably be described as a spiritual low. But if you seek the exposition of God's word, you will frequently experience what is described in my next point, and that is the impact of the opened scriptures. And we find it in verse 32, because now in verse 32, they're recounting what had taken place to them. Look at verse 32. This is the impact of the open scriptures. And they said one to another, did not our, next two words. Did you know the Bible talks about heartburn? That's right there. Heartburn. Have you ever had heartburn? Have you ever had the heartburn it talks about here? Not talking about having had too much food or the wrong kind of food and having heartburn in the middle of the night, having to get up and take, I don't even know what the things are called. Oh, I knew somebody would know. But these two men had heartburn. Did not our heart burn within us? When? While he talked with us, by the way. And while he opened to us the scriptures. Those very words, heartburn, are right there in verse 32. Having the Lord Jesus Christ walk alongside you, when you are walking in the Spirit who indwells you, and the Holy Spirit is explaining the scriptures to you, and when he does that, you'll have heartburn. But it's a spiritual heartburn. It's when you, and it's hard to explain, and this is a feeling now, it's hard to explain what takes place, and I trust you know what I'm talking about, where your heart is burning. And you know it's burning because it's hard then to put the Bible down. It's hard to close the Bible. It's like, I don't have time. I've got to get to work, but I want to spend more time here right now. This is wonderful. This is amazing. My heart is burning. Holy heartburn. What a privilege to have Jesus himself in the person of the Holy Spirit explain himself from the scriptures. When you have heartburn, when you have time with the Lord meditating on his word, when someone else shares a blessing from their devotions and your heart burns as a result, when you're in Sunday school and your Sunday school teacher teaches you something that maybe you'd never seen before and your heart burns within you, when you're hearing a message preached, whether it's by me or someone else in this church, and your heart burns within you. Have you ever had that kind of an experience now? There's treatment for this heartburn. There's treatment. You know what the treatment is? It's what these two men did after this. Verse 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 that were gathered together and them that were with them, and basically they went out and told somebody else. You know what always happens when you have spiritual heartburn? You've got to tell somebody. It's not a bragging thing. If you're bragging about it, no. But when you are so blessed that you have to go tell someone else, and that's exactly what they do. You see, even in the Old Testament, there was a man who had this experience. His name was Jeremiah. And God had given him a message to tell the children of Israel, and every time he would preach this message, he'd get in trouble. He'd get thrown in prison. They wouldn't listen. They would reject him. And so he said, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I'm not going to do this anymore. But then this is what he says. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I could not keep my mouth shut. This is Jeremiah 20, verse 9. I had to tell somebody. That's what happens when you have holy heartburn. You'll see in verse 29 that the day was far spent, and they were ready to settle down for the night after this 7-mile walk. They were ready to just settle down. But heartburn prevented them from doing it. They had to go tell somebody else. Folks, if we're going to know the Lord as we ought to, you must know the scriptures that speak of him. It is the method Jesus uses with these two disciples. It's the method he used with his disciples while he walked on this earth throughout his ministry. And even after his resurrection, as spoken of here, even after his resurrection for the next 40 days, as is mentioned in Acts chapter 1, he would meet with his disciples, giving proof of his resurrection. For 40 days they saw him, but for 40 days he kept preaching to them about the kingdom of God. While the world is seeking experiences through signs, you should continue to know the Lord through the faithful exposition of his word. And I'll tell you who knows the word and who can see the Lord Jesus Christ in the scriptures. It's people who take the time when the church doors are open and they're faithful to be there. What a Bible conference this is. Could you imagine having a Bible conference like Cleopas and this other man had? I've been to Bible conferences where there are 7,000 people. But nothing would exceed a Bible conference with one other person and the Lord himself. And that's what Cleopas has. This was some Bible conference. So take advantage of preaching. Take advantage of their services coming up April 21, 22, 23, 24. Take advantage and be here. I'll tell you, your heart will be burning at the end of it. And you won't be sleeping. If you come seeking some kind of an experience, that'll only lead to a big head. But you don't need a big head, you need a burning heart. Which comes with you being with Jesus Christ through the scriptures. That's just point number one, but the next two are going to be very short because that's introductory. But I want you to see, not only did he open the scriptures, but in verses 28 to 31, he opened their eyes. Verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. Here's the second occurrence, which actually occurs before the one we just talked about. But in the order, their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Two things about this. Number one, Jesus became known to them by his breaking bread. There was something about how he broke that bread that made them to know him. Was it the way he did it? Was there a certain mannerism he had when he broke bread? Or is it the fact that whenever he broke bread, what would he do? He would look up. By the way, this is not a bad posture in prayer. He would look up with his eyes open and he would thank God for the bread. And I wonder when Jesus fed the 5,000, if maybe Cleopas and this other man were there. Or when he fed the 4,000. You see, when he fed the 5,000, the Bible says that Jesus took the loaves and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down. When he fed the 4,000, he commanded the people to sit down on the ground and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. It was about the way he did it, maybe. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. We know that Mary knew him after the resurrection. John records this in chapter 20. Mary knew him. How? She was looking for the gardener, is what Jesus asked. Looking for the gardener? He said, I just want to know where they took him. And Jesus said one word. Mary. And she said, Rabboni, Master. Her eyes were opened. Something about the way he said her name. And although this doesn't say that Jesus opened their eyes, it says their eyes were opened. It was a result of his opening to them the scriptures that their eyes were opened. I contend that their eyes were better opened by the opening of scriptures than if Jesus had just given them an experience of an all of a sudden appearing to them. They had an experience, a burning heart experience based upon the exposition of scriptures. This was a real, genuine experience. I want to say this again. The Bible does not emphasize an experience. Jesus does not emphasize an experience. He emphasizes exposition of his word. The more you understand the scriptures, the more you will know the Lord. And while this world and immature Christians are seeking experiences through signs, this passage teaches us to know the Lord through the faithful exposition of his word. He honors his word. So he opened their eyes, Jesus became known to them. But then I want you to also notice that Jesus became invisible to them. That's literally what it means when it says he vanished. He became invisible from them. And here's the important thing. The most important thing is not that they see him with their physical eyes. Folks, the most important thing for you is not that you see him with your physical eyes. For he would soon ascend and become invisible to them, even as he is to us today. But he is emphasizing, because he's about to leave them, I want you to see me through the lens of scriptures, even as we see him today. Not through some experience. Well, lastly, he opened their understanding. Jump all the way down to verse 45. The same word is used again. The third time the word opened is used. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So he opened the scriptures. He opened their eyes. Now he opens their understanding, their mind. Let's look at that. Let's read verses 33 and following. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was made known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them. He had just vanished from those two. Now he appears miraculously in this group. Doors are shut and he just shows up. Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled and why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet that, and I want you to remember this part, it is I myself. It is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat it before them. Did they believe not? They're still wondering. Now what does he do? Verse 44. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Now what's he going to refer to? Which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He takes him right back to the Word of God. It is I myself. We know from the book of John that there's a man absent. One of the disciples is absent here. Thomas isn't here when this happens. And I want you to turn to that. It's John chapter 20. You'll remember this very clearly if you don't already know what happens here. It says in John 20, verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace unto you." Verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." So Thomas is not there. Note what Jesus says to Thomas in verses 25 and following. We'll get there. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see the hand in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again," so 8 days from this time, "the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Notice what Jesus says here. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." Now Jesus is going to talk about you and me today. "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." I wonder why the Lord arranged for Thomas to be absent that first resurrection Sunday. I think it was so that all who would follow, including us, who have never seen Jesus with our physical eyes, would nevertheless believe and be blessed with a burning heart to see him with our spiritual eyes. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, "Whom having not seen," I've never seen him with my physical eyes, and neither of you, "whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." So back there in Luke chapter 24, Jesus said, "These are the words that I spoke." Verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding." That is the faculty, the mind, as the faculty of thinking. "That they might understand the scriptures," that they might gain insight into the scriptures. Not that they might know the scriptures, but that they might understand, gain insight into the scriptures. Folks, Luke chapter 24 and verse 45 is a good thing for you to pray before you have your devotions. "Lord, please open my understanding that I might understand the scriptures." It's a good thing for you to preach before you come to church. Not when you sit here. You can pray it during the sermon, but pray it way ahead of time. "Lord, tomorrow," on Saturday night you're praying this, "Lord, tomorrow as I go to church and as I hear your word preached, please open my understanding that I might understand the scriptures." Three times the word opened. Three times he opened the scriptures, he opened their eyes, he opened their understanding. And when that takes place, then he says, verse 48, "Now you're witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." But even that is preceded by something else. He says this in verse 47, "That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." There again is the Great Commission. Perhaps the reason we don't witness as much as we should is because we don't see Jesus Christ in the Bible. Oh, we see him in the Gospels. But you don't see way back in the Old Testament how that they foretold, "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming." Until the day that John the Baptist was baptizing and he said, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he is revealed to those who would believe. And as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Lord Jesus does not call upon us to experience him. He calls upon us to trust in him. Is the Bible a closed book to you? If it is, open it today, open it this week, every day. And as you have your devotion, say, Lord, please open my understanding that I might understand the scriptures. You could also pray Psalm 119. I believe it's verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Please open my understanding, as you did with your disciples, that I too might gain insight into the scriptures. For what reason? So you can win the next Bible trivia game? That's just something up in the head. Folks, if you want a burning heart, have the right motive. Lord, that I might know you, that I might have my spiritual eyes opened to see you. Lord, may we take this to heart.